11 as our first area of study this year as we preach and think about and work on building up ourselves and our most holy faith. And if you weren't able to be here last week, I'd challenge you to go and look and watch last week's, if you haven't already, last week's sermon as a good kicking off point for this new year. And so I'm going to do something a little different today, and I can't guarantee I'll get to do this every Sunday, but I'm going to strive. I've got handouts, and actually it's the slides, but in outline form. So I'm going to ask, let's see here, Devin, come on up. Can you, Devin and William, can you please make sure everyone gets one of these, please? And so maybe something to help you follow along, and hopefully it won't be too distracting as we study our Bibles today. See here, I even got it on the big screen. There, what is biblical faith? What is biblical faith? All right. Hebrews chapter 11 is where we're going to be. But before you go there, if you would, go to Luke, the book of Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, and we're going to look at verse number 5. Faith. If you recall, our theme verse is found in the book of Jude this year. And just set them right there on the thing, guys. Thank you so much. I appreciate our young men helping and being a blessing. Even as simple things, handing out the sheets, that's a blessing. Of course, our theme verse this year is in Jude verse 20, in which the scripture says, "But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." I want 2019 as a church and as believers and as families to be a year of building, where we come to the end of 2019, Lord willing, and we can look back and say, you know what? I grew this year. My family grew this year. Our church grew this year. We exercised faith more than ever this year. We believed God and trusted God more than ever this year. But the building up is not just some sort of self-help, right? It's not just you reading a book by John Maxwell or Oprah or Dr. Phil and being a better person. The foundation of this building is our most holy faith. And so I want to spend the next few weeks, probably about 8 of them all together, talking about faith. And we're going to be diving into Hebrews chapter 11 and understanding it, hopefully in a deeper and more comprehensive way over the next few weeks. Why? Well, our very ministry name is what? Faith Baptist Church. It's all about faith. In fact, you think about faith and what it really means. If we've entitled ourselves that, if we go by that name, if that's what we're known in the community, then we better have a solid understanding of what it means to be people of faith. Number two, faith is often greatly misunderstood. Greatly misunderstood. Many would agree with the little boy who said faith is believing what you know isn't true. Or they think faith is the opposite of rational, pragmatic thought. Or faith is nothing more than just positive thinking, maybe wishful dreaming. A lot of people make the mistake of confusing faith with feeling so that if they don't feel it, it must not be true. Why? Because faith is better illustrated than explained. That's why you have Hebrews chapter 11. It's a chapter of illustrations of what? Faith. What does it mean to have faith? We all know men and women whose faith inspire us, don't we? Day to day, you look maybe at your spouse or at a parent or even at your children and you say, man, what faith? And it's almost always because of adversity, those people's faith is strong. So what is biblical faith? You'll notice the first point is this. And let's go to Luke chapter 17. Faith that is never tested is theoretical. Faith that is never tested is theoretical. Aren't you glad? I'm so glad, Brother John, that Boeing tests their planes. I'm so glad that Boeing tests their planes. It'd be a little disconcerting. I read an article where the new 777 has the biggest engine ever created by GE. It's like two full-size men standing on top of each other in diameter. They hooked it. You say, well, what would you think if Boeing just took that brand new engine, never been flown, never been put into production, slapped it on a 777 and just took off with a plane of 300 people? I don't know if a 777 holds 300, about. Would you feel comfortable, Devin? You'd be like, yeah, sign me up, man. And what would you be doing the whole time? Well, I pray that the engineers and I pray that the technicians at General Electric didn't have a bad day when they created this engine. But what does Boeing do? They test and they test and they test, I hope. John, shake your head. Yes, they do. Okay, good. Anyway, they test and they test and they test. Why? Because you don't want to be in the air 30,000 feet on theory. Faith that is never tested is theoretical. Go, if you would, to Luke chapter 17. You see, the disciples ask of the Lord Jesus Christ is what? What do they ask? Somebody help me out here. Increase our faith. Increase our faith. When we read Hebrews chapter 11, it's story after story of men and women that we see their faith work itself out in their lives. They're under enormous pressure. They are facing great odds. Often they have the whole world against them. They live by faith. They win God's approval. And when you read that, you say, that is faith. We ought to begin this year, and we should begin this series with that prayer, Lord, increase our faith. Lord, increase our faith. Isn't that the whole idea? Building up yourselves on your most what? Holy faith. 2019 ought to be a year where we say, I want my faith to increase. I don't want to be like I was in December of 2018. I want to be more for God. I want to look back and say, I lived by faith this year more than any other year. I think this one preacher said this about faith. When you read Hebrews chapter 11, which we'll do in a minute, no man was ever disappointed who put his trust in God. Did you hear me? No man was ever disappointed who put their trust in God. Everything is by faith. When you look at Scripture, and I've given you some examples here, it's all by faith. It's all by faith. Faith was never meant to be just a one-time thing. It's tempting to fall into that trap, though, isn't it? Because we so emphasize being saved by faith. We talk about accepting Christ, receiving Christ, trusting Christ, giving your heart to Christ. We challenge people to respond by faith to gospel invitations, and that is well and good. And it could be easily thought, if we're not careful, that salvation, yes, is by faith, but the rest is up to us. No, the same faith that saved you is the faith that carries you day to day as you make your journey from earth to heaven. The Bible throughout Scripture tells us that the righteous live by faith. In Romans chapter 1, verse 17, this is a really good verse to think about how vital faith is even to our daily walk. He says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from what? Faith to faith, as it is written, the what? The just shall live by faith. You realize your whole Christian walk is by faith. You're saved by faith. You walk by faith. You're kept by faith. You endure by faith. You rejoice by faith. You serve by faith. You sacrifice by faith. You love by faith. You pray by faith. You worship by faith. You obey by faith. You get married by faith. You have children by faith. Everything you do is by faith. So why is faith so important? Let's consider these verses. I'm going to ask for help this morning. Would someone be willing to pick up Romans 5:1 for us? Let's start with that one. All right. We'll start right here on the left. Devin, you get to read the first one for us. John 6:47. William, would you read that for us? All right. I'm going to ask my sound man to make sure the mic over folks is on so they can hear the reading. Who's next? Elizabeth, Ephesians 3:12. Who's next on? Oh, David, Hebrews 11:6. You would like to read? All right. 1 John 5:4. Help Junior and Timothy. We'll try to do that. Emma, Matthew 21:22. All right, Matt, do you have your hand up? Matt Sr.? Sure. All right, would you do the last one, Hebrews 11:1? Sorry, we run out. I'll get you guys the next time with that. What's that?
You picked all kids. That's okay.
You're right, exactly. Anyway, you said it. All right.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Brother Robert's got a witness on that one. Everything is by
love
faith.
You, brother.
And when you look at Scripture, everything is by faith. So let's start with the first one. I believe that's Mr. Devin. Would you read Romans 5:1? Why don't you stand? That way everybody can hear you. All right?
Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Being justified by what? Faith. Justification. What is justification? Do you remember? It's the right taking of the righteousness of Christ, placing it on your account. How does that happen? By faith. By faith you get saved. You're justified by faith. All right, William, you're next, right? John 6:47.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life.
He that believeth on me, what? Hath everlasting life. Everlasting life is by what?
Faith.
You know this, okay? Ephesians 3:12. Who was next? Elizabeth.
In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him.
Woo! Man, we have access to God by faith. How do you know that God is even listening to you? That when you go to pray, that you're entering into his presence? It's by faith. The fact that you can go to God is by faith. All right, next one. Who's Hebrews 11:6? David, stand up and read that nice and loud.
But without faith, it is impossible to please him.
You want to please God? It's by what? Faith. You can't please God just by doing things. It has to be by faith. 1 John 5:4. All right, Timothy.
Victory that overcomes the world.
Next, Matthew 21:22. Emma.
All things whosoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive.
Got to believe. Faith. Matt, if you would, Hebrews 11:1.
Now faith is the substance of things hoped
for. Amen.
The evidence of things not seen.
Amen.
It is the title deed. It's all that God has promised. It's the evidence. Right? John and Kathy just bought a house. Right? What'd they make you sign? They make you sign a deed. Right? A warranty deed. Now someday, well, maybe you have it all paid off. You get a title deed. Right? Okay? And that says, I own it. Well, you don't really. The county does, because if you don't pay your taxes, they're going to take it. But you own it. How do I know that I own all that Christ has promised me? Faith. It's the deed, man. It's right there. And God himself, he is so entirely faithful, he honors those who love him enough to trust him completely. Let me say it again. And let me read you a scripture with that so to help you maybe a little, all right? Deuteronomy 7, 9. If you want to just listen, that's fine. Very quickly it says this, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations." To 1,000 generations. Okay? God is entirely faithful and He honors those who love Him enough to trust Him completely. To say, "God, I'll do what You say because You said it." And for that reason alone. So what is faith? The question is, what is faith? And how does it work? What is faith and how does it work? And let's not take this for granted. Faith is precious, but it's also precarious, the life of faith. So let's consider, number one, faith defined. Let's go to our text, and that's in Hebrews chapter 1, or 11, rather. Verse 1, Brother Matt read this for us, and we're going to look at verses 1 and 2 as I have it there on the screen and in your papers. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report." When you read Hebrews chapter 11, there's no clearer instruction on faith than this chapter. People will often call it the Hall of Faith or the Hall of Fame of Faith. We have a long list of Old Testament heroes introduced with the phrase, "by faith." Quickly, "by faith Abel," verse 4, "by faith Enoch," verse 5, "by faith Noah," verse 7, "by faith Abraham," verse 8, "by faith Sarah," verse 11, "by faith Isaac," verse 20, "by faith Jacob," verse 21, "by faith Joseph," verse 22, "by faith Moses' parents," verse 23, verse 24, "by faith Moses," "by faith the people crossed the Red Sea," verse 29, "by faith the walls of Jericho fell," verse 30, and "by faith Rahab the prostitute," verse 31. And then if you look at verse 32, he lists out even more names, right? He lists out Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets. And he summarizes, he says, "who through faith," verse 33, "subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousnesses, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the enemies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trials." Right? He goes on to talk about the trials that they endured by faith. Cruel mockings, scourging, J. Moreover, bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered. Wow, they wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. You say, "That's terrible, Pastor. That's terrible. Who were these poor people? What did they do to deserve such punishments?" They were the others that lived by faith. They were the others that lived by faith. They lived by faith just as much as Noah and Abraham and Moses or Joshua lived by faith. Their faith was not weaker. If anything, their faith was stronger. They lived by faith. They endured incredible suffering. They're not lesser saints because they had no miracles. If anything, they're greater saints because they were faithful even when things didn't work out. Look at verse 39. And to me, this is the summary of the whole chapter. Verse 39 says, "And these all, having obtained a good report through faith," right? But notice that phrase, "having obtained a" what? "Good report through faith." A good report through faith. I want you to think about what ties these people together. What is the common thread? Very quickly, think about it this way. Number one, these were people separated by time and space. It wasn't just one group at one time. It's a pattern throughout history. Starting with what? Abel. Proceeding all the way through the Old Testament, through hundreds of years of time. And they're joined by one common factor. What they did by faith. And that's how they got God's approval. Not a lot joins Abraham and Rahab together, does it? Abraham, the father of Israel, right? Rahab, a harlot. Not a whole lot of commonalities there, is there? But they do have this one thing in common. What is it? Faith. They believed God. They acted in faith. God saw their faith, rewarded their faith. Number two, what else ties them together? Living by faith. What common thread here? Living by faith often means you guess what? You get to push against the tide. The prevailing tide of public opinion. Think about Noah. Did he push against the tide? He built an ark. That's a little crazy, isn't it? What about Abraham? How did he push against the tide? He left his hometown of Ur and set out, not knowing where he was going to go. A little crazy. Moses, how did he push against the tide of public opinion? What did he leave? Egypt. Why would you leave Egypt? Why would you leave, right, where the money is, where the success is, where the known power is? Joshua, what did he do? Well, how did he, you guys help me out, how did Joshua push against the tide? What's some of the things he did? Remember about Jericho? What did he do? Did he call out the howitzers and the navy? Say, put the big guns on Jericho, knock it to the ground. Is that what he did? Did he call in fire air support? Now, bogey, put it right there, sucker. Is that what he did? No. He got the guys together and said, hey, we're going to march around the walls and blow some trumpets. All the military leaders say, you're crazy. They don't teach that at West Point. Joshua said, this is God. God's instructing us. I'm walking by faith. He went against the prevailing tide. I'll tell you this, the same thing holds true today. If you decide to live by faith, you're going to be going against the tide. Thirdly, again, by faith though, not just because you're ornery. Hebrews 11 demonstrates that the life of faith is not rare. You ever felt that way? You ever felt, man, I could never, ever. That's just Satan. I couldn't be like these people. That's just Satan. Throughout Scripture, we have example after example after example of men and women who live by faith. We could look at Enoch, or we could look at Noah, we could look at David or Moses and say, I could never live by that type of faith. But they're just like us. Let's go back to our text, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. We get the definition, don't we? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That idea of substance is unusual because it refers to the very essential nature of something. Oftentimes, the word substance was used to describe the foundation of a house. Outside the New Testament, in literature written around this time, it was used to describe a title deed to a piece of property. So with that definition, think of it this way. Faith is the title deed to the things of the future. It belongs to you by faith. That's how you know it's real. It belongs the title deed to the things of the future, things that are hoped for, things that are promised to come to pass. Evidence refers to legal proof in a courtroom. Legal proof in a courtroom. Faith is proof to our soul that enables us to see things as true that cannot be seen by the naked eye. By faith, we see what would otherwise be invisible. Now look at verse 2. This is very important. That's faith, but verse 2 tells us, for by it, the elders obtained a what? Good report. Who are the elders? The Old Testament saints. Noah, Moses, David, Ruth, Esther, Job, Daniel, all those who trust by God, they what? Obtained a good report. What is that idea of a good report? They obtained a what? A witness. Sometimes in churches, a preacher will say, not necessarily in churches such as ours, can I get a witness? And what people will do is they'll say, amen. What are they meaning? I agree. I see what you're saying is true. But verse 2, God is doing the witnessing. God is the one confirming. God is the one saying, yes, that is right. When Moses stood up for righteousness, when David slew Goliath, when the three Hebrew children refused to bow down, when Nehemiah rebuilt the wall, when Elijah defeated the prophets of Baal, I tell you what God did is He looked down from heaven and said, amen, that's my boy. Amen, that's my girl. Go get them. That's a witness. And I'm telling you, I love it when you say amen, but I tell you, I want God's amens more than anything. Woo-hoo! Go get them. Yes! Right? God loves it. He loves it when we dare to trust Him. He loves it so much that He bears witness to the world that you belong to Him. It's like a father at a sporting event. Right? And this kid's out there, you know, and he's getting ready, and he just cracks one. Crack! And that ball just sails. That's my boy. That's my daughter. That's what God does. And you crack one out of the park by faith. God's saying, that's mine. That's my boy. That's my girl. Right? You say, oh, Pastor, you're being ridiculous. Am I? I'm not. In fact, the Bible says that He is not ashamed, right, to be their God. I love that. We feel separated from Abraham. We feel separated from David. We are. These great heroes of faith, they seem so far removed. I have a hard time thinking about the Apostle John trying to figure out how to get on his phone. I have a hard time thinking about, you know, old Jeremiah going to Starbucks and ordering a coffee, or Dutch Brothers, if you would. Well, we tend to think of these men and women as we think of them as just sort of dusty, nebulous figures peering out through the pages of Scripture. But you know what joins them to you and I? Take a guess. Scare me here a minute. Faith. Faith. What they did by faith. Yes, they're of a different time, a different culture, a different language. They are history. There's such a gap between us and them. But what won them approval gives us approval too, and it is what? Thank you. All right, good. I was feeling better there. They didn't have the internet. They didn't have YouTube. They didn't have, you know, you could go to the internet and you could find 10,000 opinions about a scripture. They didn't have that. They knew much less than us, yet they accomplished so much more. How? They didn't have cars. They didn't have, right, all the things that we have today, but they got so much more done for God. Why? Because they were living by faith. And God said, I'll bless that. I'll bless that. I'll honor that. God says, show me a little and I'll show you a lot. Show me a little faith. I'll make your head turn around. You won't even know which way is up. Faith really does require a little bit of discontent. Holy discontent, though. Why? Because look at our text again. Let me go back to it. Faith is the substance of things what? Hope for. That word hope is interesting. If you've already got everything you want and desire, then If all the promises of God have already come true, if you've reached a state of spiritual perfection, if all your prayers have been answered, if all your loved ones are saved and serving the Lord, if there's no lack in your life in any way, you don't need faith because you're already living in heaven. Do you see what I mean by discontent? You got to say, man, this isn't all there is. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying, you know, I wish I had a better car. Right? Some faith preachers will say that. You know, don't you want a bigger house? Don't you want more toys? Don't you want more money? That's not the discontentedness I'm talking about. I'm talking about spiritual things. Don't you want your kids to live for Jesus more? Don't you want to have a better marriage? Don't you want to have, right, a bigger impact as a church? That's the kind of holy discontentment. Yeah. Do you really think, when you look back over your last year, do you really think that you've reached a place of nirvana spiritually? That there's nothing more that your marriage could benefit from? There's nothing more that your kids could benefit from? I think all of us would say, Pastor, that's ridiculous. I know there's a lot more. So guess what? You purpose by faith to see it. You purpose by faith to say, I don't believe this is all God intended. The challenge is that we grow weary and we do become content with second best. When I was teaching in school, ACE had a little phrase, at least I learned it from them, I'm sure someone else coined it, let's not rest till our good is better and our better is best. Many of us are content with just the good. What's good enough? We're content with our kids being good, when really we should strive to want to see them be godly. We're content with our marriage being okay, when really what we should be is saying, God, I want my marriage to be great. I want my marriage to be a perfect picture of Christ in the church. As a church, we're content to say we've seen some people saved. We've done more outreach. Okay, when we ought to say, man, there are so many lost people in Everett. There are so many lost people in my neighborhood. Isn't there more we could do? Isn't there more that God wants to do? And it's not about the doing, it's about the seeing of the outcomes. Contented, discontentedness. What then is faith? Believe, see, do. Faith believes what others do not believe. Faith sees what others do not see. Faith does what others do not do. True faith is never passive. True faith doesn't just say. True faith doesn't just think. True faith moves us to act, to do, to try, to build, to attempt, to expand, to say no to sin, yes to righteousness, to join, to speak out, to move forward, to dare to dream beyond our means, to walk around Jericho again and again and again and again until at last the walls come tumbling down. Does it quit? Isn't it, oh, it's too much, it's too hard. I bet you Joshua on that fifth time around was, I bet you could hear the grumbling. He's lost now. Maybe Joshua's even thinking, a man like passions as we are. Oh, Lord. The walls are still standing, Lord. Now, if Joshua had been like us, he'd gotten to that last day, maybe about third time around, and be like, I'm done. I just can't deal with it no more. I need some self time. You guys just stay over there. I'm going to go get me a massage. Get my nails done. No, right, Brother Matt? But faith says, man, God said, I'm just going to keep walking. I'm going to keep walking around these walls. Y'all could just quit. Y'all could just go back home. But I'm standing and I'm walking and I'm going to walk around these walls till they fall down because God said they would. That's faith. Faith does. Faith, really, one preacher defined it this way, it is an outrageous trust in God. Outrageous trust makes you build an ark hundreds of miles from water. Outrageous trust compels you to leave home not knowing where you're going. Outrageous trust sends you into the valley of Elah to face Goliath. Outrageous trust is what God wants. You see, people think I'm crazy. That's outrageous. If it's outrageous in the eyes of the world, it's probably the right thing if it's in line with the Word of God. Faith defined. How do we apply faith? Hopefully you got the understanding of what faith is. So how do you do it? How do you do it? It has to be through the Lord Jesus Christ, through His help. Faith is a gift from God, right? Ephesians 2:8-9 tells us that, for by grace are you saved through faith. It is the gift of God. Praise God for the gift of faith, the ability to believe Him. But number one, faith is not a feeling, but a conscious choice to believe what God has said. If you stay rooted in the plane of feelings, you will never progress spiritually. Are you hearing me? We are so emotionally driven in this day and age. Instead of saying, what is right? Let us do what is right. But pastor, you know, I feel bad. Or pastor, I feel discouraged. Or pastor, feelings are real. But at the same time, if you never get past feeling and saying, I'm going to do what's right regardless of how it feels, then you'll never enter into the plane of Christ-like faith, of God-like faith. Imagine if Noah had waited to build the ark until he felt like it. I don't think he'd ever put down one piece of wood. If Joshua had waited to feel like marching around Jericho, and you know, I just don't feel like it today, guys. It's a little cold outside. Those walls look awful big. Now, feelings are important. I'm not trying to deny feelings. And people say, well, you're just being... No, feelings are important. God's given us feelings. If you're in a hospital and someone you love is facing surgery or great sickness, you may not feel super excited about that. But you must, in that moment, consciously choose to believe what God has said and what He said He'll do. When your kids are little brats and they're rebellious, you may not feel at that moment like there's any hope. But guess what? You got to walk by faith. You got to grab a hold of them. You've got to correct them. You have to train them. You have to discipline them. But you say, Pastor, you may not feel. You say, Pastor, my marriage is struggling. I don't really feel like I love them anymore. Guess what? Faith says, husbands, love your wives. Wives, reverence your husbands. Get after it. Trying to teach my children not to be, especially my sons, not to be so emotionally driven. I remember my dad working on me. I used to be so emotional. And the emotions aren't wrong, man. I'm the kind of guy, I'll cry. Right? I'm the kind of guy, I have emotions. I feel anger. I feel sorrow. But when it comes to walking with God, you can't walk that way. As a husband, I can't lead that way. Right? We'd be a huge mess. As a Christian, I certainly can't walk according to my emotions. I have to consciously choose to believe what God has said, and He said He is who He says He is. He will do what He said He will do. Faith chooses, then acts, and guess what? Faith feelings follow. Number two, what does it say? Faith acts even in face of doubt and opposition. You ever tried to wait till everything was just going to, man, it's perfect circumstances, we're going to go do it? That rarely, rarely happens, right? David didn't wait for Goliath to go blind before he threw the stone. He didn't sit there and say, God, if you'll make Goliath go blind and you'll cause there to be a great fog that only I can see through, God said, get you some stones and slay the giant. If we wait for our doubts to disappear, we'll wait for a long time. Someone has once said that faith is belief plus unbelief, acting on the belief part. Sooner or later, we have to act on the belief part. It's right. I'm going to do it. But I'm going to do it. It's because it's right. Three, faith sees what others do not see. Faith sees what others do not see. One preacher by the name of Philip Yancey said, faith means believing in advance what will only make sense in reverse. Think about that. Faith means believing what in advance what only makes sense when you look in the rearview mirror in reverse. There's so many things that don't make sense. You ever had questions that defy answer? How is that even possible? I got the question from one of my sons the other day, Pastor, Dad, how does God exist in three persons? I did my best. Honestly, I don't understand it entirely. But the Bible tells me that that's how it is. And guess what? By faith, I believe it. It's what the Bible says. We certainly, and we all want to know why things happen the way they do and why things didn't happen this way or that way. It would be wrong to say that faith provides all the answers, and maybe in heaven we'll fully understand. I don't know that we will. By faith, we see things that are invisible to others. By faith, we believe in advance those things that right now make no sense, but will one day make perfect sense because we'll view them in reverse. The world says seeing is believing. God says believing is seeing. We believe, therefore we see. Biblical faith, and finishing tonight, this morning, biblical faith is never faith in faith. It's not just believing in your own powers of logic or persuasion. Do you know what I mean? It's not you just ginning up the strength to just have the mental fortitude to just do it. I've never been in combat or even in the service, and that's one of the regrets sometimes I have as a man. But I would imagine I've watched enough, talked to enough people. We watched, there was a World War I documentary that they colorized, a bunch of World War I footage. Fascinating. And it just literally looks like the surface of the moon. There was so much shelling and so much bombing. And they talked about how those men would literally just have to what? They would have to grab their rifle and they would have to climb up out of those trenches and charge the enemy. That's not faith. That's just having the mental fortitude and the strength to be able to just conquer your fear and do. Right? It's faith in the sense that they're just doing what their commanders have told them to do, but without any assurance that there'd be a positive outcome. The faith that God calls us to exercise is faith in what He has already told us. Yeah. It's a little like climbing out of the foxhole, a little like climbing out of the trench and facing the enemy fire, but knowing this, that in the end, we will win. In the end, we will be victorious. Those men in World War I who got out of the trenches didn't know. They didn't know who was going to win. They just know that they were told to do it. You and I, we know the outcome, don't we? We know, as the Scripture says, all things work together for good to them who are called by God, to them who love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Faith is not just in your own powers of persuasion, your own logic, your own mental fortitude. Our faith will never be stronger than the object upon whom it rests. And who is that? Jesus Christ. Our faith rests on Jesus Christ. So the essence of faith is following Him wherever He leads. And I love this acrostic. Faith is forsaking all, I take Him. Forsaking all, I take Him. A call is not to understand, but to follow Christ wherever He leads, whatever it costs. And the word of Christ to all of us is always the same. Come, follow me. What does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? It means to get on the Jesus road and to follow wherever it takes you. No guarantees, no deals, no special promises. But don't be afraid. You'll never regret walking the road with Christ. Are you ready to follow Him wherever He leads? That's all He wants. Some may ask, well, what if He asked me to do something I can't do? He will. He will. If he only asks you to do the things you can do, why do you need him? Does that make sense? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Amen? He will ask you. He'll ask you to do things you say, I don't know that I can do that. Guess what? That drives you to him. And that's faith. If you decide to follow Jesus, he will ask you to do the impossible, but then he'll help you to do it. You say, Pastor, I don't know. Well, how do I live by faith? Just do the next step. Do what you know is right. What's the next thing you know Jesus wants you to do? Just do it. You say, well, what about, don't worry about 10 miles down the road. What do you need to do today? If you know that you need to get out your Bible every day and read it and meditate in it, and you need to pray every day, there's your step of faith. Right? If you know your child's acting up, the Bible tells you to correct them, that's your step of faith. If you know the Bible tells you to love your wife and you should do things to demonstrate that love, then that's your next step of faith. Don't worry about how you say, Pastor, I've messed things up. I've not walked by faith. My money is a mess because I've not lived by faith in regards to my finances. Then guess what? Do the next thing you know to do with your money by faith. Guess what? Every step you take as you follow Jesus, what will he do? It'll get you out of the hole that you're in. Walk by faith. Live by faith. Faith is the law of the kingdom of God. Every blessing of the kingdom is available to those who put their faith to work. Moment by moment, day by day, one little step at a time. By faith, Noah. By faith, Moses. By faith, Abraham. I wonder if other names could be added to that list. By faith, Devin. By faith, Robert. By faith, Kathy. By faith, Richard. By faith, John. By faith, David. God, give us courage to follow the Lord step by step by step. The title deed to all the promises of God, what is it? Faith is forsaking all others. I take him. Do you take him? Let's pray. Maybe in some way this morning the Holy Spirit has spoken to you. Maybe your faith has been weak. Maybe you've not been walking by faith. Maybe you just need God to give you the courage and the strength to have more faith. Maybe you've been driven by feelings, you know, and just hemming and hawing and procrastinating what you know to be right because you didn't. Just take God at his word and walk one step at a time. Pray, and then if the Lord has spoken to you in any way, I pray that you would now respond to him. Father, thank you for this time together. What a blessing it is to consider such a wonderful topic such as faith. I pray that this year, Lord, as much as you give us of it, would be a year marked by faith, of growth, of building ourselves up on our holy faith through your word and through the actions of faith, doing it, not just living in the theoretical, but practicing it every day. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed. As the piano plays a couple verses, if God's spoken to you, please respond to him. Thank you. Bless us now as we dismiss, and I pray that we'd honor you, Lord, in all of our activities today and whatever days you give us left. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Before we dismiss today, I do want to remind you, on next Sunday night, we'll be having our annual church business meeting, and we'll be going over last year's budget and finances, looking at this year. I'm very excited to be able to share that with you. So I hope you'll be here for that. That is next Sunday night. So I want to make sure we announced it last week, we'll announce it this week, and give you guys a 2 weeks heads up. Okay, Lord bless you. We'll see you tonight, 6 o'clock, 4:30 for outreach if you're able to make it, 6 for the service. Let's be dismissed.